Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Just going to share for a little bit now, and then there's a number of things we need to do in a few minutes. But if you want to turn to Ezekiel 47, I'm just going to turn there for a few moments. We've had an awesome week, haven't we? It's been a great time of meeting with God, of hearing from Him, moving further on in what He's doing with us as a people, as a church. And God's covered a lot of ground in the last few days. He's spoken to us about the church in a big scale, and how He sees the church, and then what that means for us as a church, as part of the church. He's spoken to us about the blood and the Spirit working together, the power of the blood and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's been speaking to us about, last night was a phenomenal night where it was an awesome word, but it just revealed how awesome God is. And really it was about His love for us as people, His incredible, unfailing love for us. And I think everybody that was here, probably just about everybody, would have really received just a fresh revelation, really, an encounter in God's love for us as individuals and as a people. How many of you really met with God last night? I know a whole number of people did. And it's been a great time. And one of the things that has been coming through, excuse me, over the last few months, really, in terms of what God's been saying and doing with us, is that we're not just to think of ourselves as just a church. We're not to just think in terms of what we think church is because of maybe our experience of church over the years, or how many people, how people talk about what church is and everything. And if we think like that, then we often can try and put God in a box and then think the church has to do certain things for me, or the church has to operate in a certain way to be a church. And sometimes when we actually think, well, where do we get some of that thinking from? Where do we get some of our understanding of who the church is and what it's about from? And often some of our thinking about how the church is and should be, we don't actually find in the Bible so often in terms of structure or form or certain things that we think church is. And what God has, I think, always wanted to do with us, but over the last few months has really been emphasizing that is really, and we understand this on one level, it's all about the life and the dynamic of the Holy Spirit amongst us, and then the life that enables us to live in our individual walk with God, but also corporately as a body of people. And that God wants the life of who He is to determine the way we are as a people. And that we're not trying to, and this is, I'm speaking to myself here, and that we're not trying to grow a church, or we're not trying to just build a church, or we're not trying to just concentrate on doing something and putting a lot of effort in certain ways to try and see something happen, where God is saying, if you concentrate on me and you focus on me and you're healthy in me, then anything that's healthy grows. You know, if you feed your kids with the right stuff, they're going to grow healthy. If you feed them with the wrong stuff, they're going to grow, but they're going to grow a little bit unhealthy. And things don't go so well with them if you feed them on the wrong stuff. And so we've got to feed on the right stuff so that we grow in the right way. But God has been speaking to me over a period of time, but during one of the sessions this week, when he really spoke to me and he said, Clive, I mean, not that I think like this all the time, but there's elements of the way I think about what I do. And God was saying to me, stop trying to run a church. Now, there's a lot of practicalities in any church or organization that has people and staff and lots of things. There's a lot of structure, and you know, if you run a business or in your work world, you know there's a structure, there's management, and there's leadership, or there's whatever that goes on in an everyday context, but Jesus said that he was going to build his church. And what we're to do is concentrate on his kingdom and the life of his kingdom. And the phrase that God has given us, which we've gone on about over the last few months, is revival for a generation. And seeing the turning of a tide of a godless society. Now, that's not going to happen through form and structure. That's not going to happen through good organization. That's not going to happen by trying to be the most excellent, the most brilliant, the most amazing at the way we do everything. You know, all of that is in there somewhere and has got to be part of, you know, the thing to support what goes on. But one of the things that, God has been re-emphasizing to me during the week is we're here to see a move of God in this nation and across Europe. That we're not here to think church in the sense of just, I go to church, I attend church. Is the church doing something for me? You know, do I like the church? Do I like this, that, and the other? And all of that. And you know, just that, the mandate upon our life is kingdom faith. We're an apostolic people, and our thinking and our heart and our spirit and our understanding of God's word, our understanding of how he sees things is for us in the mandate that he's got for us is not just to be, we're in one place, in one town, just trying to be a church that runs stuff during the week and see if we see a few people saved and all of that. Part of the history and the of kingdom faith, because it's part of the mandate upon kingdom faith, is to be a catalyst for the purposes of God. It's to be a catalyst for the church across the nation for the purposes of God. We're not saying we're the only one, but what we're saying is we've got to understand this is part of the mandate upon our life as a people to be a catalyst for revival, to be a catalyst to see the turning of the tide of a godless society. And that's why it's so important that if we understand that and if we see that, then we understand how we need to move as a body of people, how we need to be as a body of people. One of the sessions, whenever it was, can't remember which session it was now, but we went through Acts 1 and 2 and we looked at the reality of the Holy Spirit being poured out. What does it look like? And many times we think when the Holy Spirit is poured out that we just think souls and miracles, full stop. You know, if we just had a release of the Holy Spirit, like in Acts, we'd see loads of people saved and loads of miracles happening. And we think sometimes that's all the Holy Spirit does. But actually, when you read the first couple of chapters of Acts, it describes the life that the Holy Spirit creates in a body of people when he is released and when he moves and when the people are ready and open for him to move, like the 120 were at that moment. What took place when the Holy Spirit was released? They became a devoted people. When they preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicted people there and then. There people, instead of saying, you know, it would be nice, I'll think about the message, they cried out and said, what must I do to be saved? When they became a devoted people, they were devoted to the word. They the spirit of truth was like a backbone that went through the early church there. They were a people of faith because they were a people of the word. They were a people of love because of the spirit of love that came upon them on the day of Pentecost. They were a people of prayer because of the spirit of prayer. They were a people who broke bread every day in their homes and when they came together because they wanted their life to center around the power and the resurrection of Jesus, and they wanted to live as a holy people. And they didn't have form and structure. They didn't think church in one sense. They didn't think just what is the church doing for me or I'll attend something. They were living a dynamic of life, this shared life with each other. Even to the point, it says, where they were selling their possessions and giving to anyone who was in need. Wow, that's going a bit deeper, isn't it? They were giving to one another, laying their lives down for each other. There was a release of the life of the Holy Spirit that created a life amongst a body of people. And then that life overflowed out beyond into many other people's lives. And it says that the favor of God was on them. People were added to their number. But yet at the same time, the people were in fear. The people that weren't saved at that moment, they were in fear of the believers because of the awe of God, the fear of God that was around, and the reverence of God that the early believers had. And as a result, others were in fear of the Lord because the fear of the Lord was around. It seems like people couldn't come into contact with the early believers without coming under the fear of the Lord or being aware that God was around doing something. Must have been exciting. But when the Holy Spirit was released, He created a dynamic of life amongst them. And for us, the Holy Spirit is creating a dynamic of life amongst us. That it is not just for us to be a church in terms of having Sunday meetings and having a few life groups or having a few events and having a few bits and pieces going on that we can all work hard for and spend a lot of time on. And really give ourselves to on that level. And ultimately, it's all because we want to see things happen. But one of the things that God, I believe, wants to challenge us with this morning is to be a given people. A people that are given to Him. A people that are given to one another. A people that are given to His purposes. Good morning. You all right? In Ezekiel 47, thanks a lot. In Ezekiel 47, this is talking about the river that runs from the temple, from the altar, out, and the further it goes, the deeper it gets. Now, we're not going to translate that into a physical building, okay, because God doesn't house Himself in a physical building like that anymore, in terms of bricks and mortar. He does house Himself in a physical being, and that's you and me. Amen. And what God is doing at this time is He is getting hold of us as physical beings. And He wants the river of His life to flow from this temple of the Holy Spirit, where we constantly place our lives on the altar, that we keep our lives on the altar. It's not that you once put your life on the altar and were saved, and now you get off the altar. In one sense, God wants us to stay on the altar so that the me bit stays dead. You understand that, you know? So that we live dead, in one sense. But what God wants is the life of His Spirit to flow from this living temple. And it's interesting, the further the angel or whoever measures from, or the man, as Ezekiel calls him, the further he measures from the altar or from the temple, the deeper this river gets, until Ezekiel says, it got to the point where I was swimming, I was out of my depth. Now that is the life of the Holy Spirit. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is being immersed in the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is at work or releasing our lives in such a way where we're living beyond ourselves. We're living beyond our own abilities to see things and make things happen. We're living in a place of faith where we need to trust God, where we're having to trust God daily even, for things to take place in and through our lives as a church. Hallelujah. Pastor Colin did a great session. Again, I can't remember which one it was now, but I think it was one of the morning ones. It was one of the mornings, wasn't it? Talking about the church needing to be a people of faith, love and humility. Is that one of the mornings? Friday morning. Cool. And One of the things that he was talking about there is most Christians see themselves as individual believers who are part of a church. So, you know, I'm a believer, I'm part of this church, and I kind of get into it as much as I want to, do or don't, you know. But I'm very much, you know, I'm in it, I'm part of it, I'm a part of the body, but we see ourselves as individuals as part of the body. And one of the things he was saying is God wants to help us to understand that we're not just individuals in a body so that we think individually, but we think as the church, as a corporate people, and that I am one of a corporate body of people, that I'm part of this thing, inseparable from everybody else, so I become one with everybody in the body. Because I'm a part of it, but not separated. I'm not an individual that turns up and then I step out again and do what I do in my life. But actually, I'm part of the body. I'm one with the body. And we need to think of ourselves as a corporate people. So that the mandate upon our life as Kingdom Faith, as a church here, is that we see I'm part of this mandate to see revival for a generation. I'm part of this body of people that is living to see the turning of the tide of a godless society. That I'm a person, I'm part of this body that is, as a person of faith, carrying the vision, carrying the mandate, and believing God along with everybody else for everything that God has said, whether it is people being saved, whether it is people being healed, whether it is our local area being impacted, whether it is seeing finances come in to fulfill the vision, whatever level it is, that all of us, I'm part of this body, therefore I carry the word of that God has given us, the mandate that God has given us, the vision that God has given us, the purpose that God has given us. So I'm not just part of one bit of it, I'm part of the whole thing, carrying the whole thing. To run Kingdom Faith, right? It costs £55,000 a week to run Kingdom Faith. That's a few quid, isn't it? It's 2.6 million at the moment a year to do everything that we do. The life of the church here, running the training college, faith camp, events that we do, all the relating churches and relationships with them and everything involved in that. And just everything that we're involved in, whether local, regional, in the nation and other nations, it costs 2.6 million at the moment to do everything. That's £55,000 a week. Now, out of all of that money, there is only about 30% of that is known income. So God supplies in any 12-month period 70% of that 2.6 million. Now, what do we mean by God providing that? Now, there are certain things that we know come in roughly. So, for example, faith camp, you know, we want to see an increase in people coming to faith camp, you know. But, there, you know, roughly there's X amount of people and we get roughly a certain amount of income from it, whatever it is. I don't know off the top of my head. Then, you know, if we have a certain amount of students in the college, then we know we're going to get a certain amount of income. Now, there's those kind of things, right? But everything else, pretty much, a lot of other things, are really gifts that come in. Tithing and giving from the church here. So we set out a budget every year. We have to, you know, set a budget and try and work to it. We always go beyond it. Like just about every church in the world, I think. So, but all the tithing and giving that goes on here, all the gifts that come in every week, checks in the mail, all that kind of thing from other people, offerings at faith camp, and just how God supplies, 70% of that. So I can't stand up here and say about the church here, I know how much is going to come in. I don't know how much is going to come in across a 12-month period in the church here. We can have a rough idea of how much comes in. But effectively, what we're doing is we're believing God to supply some over 1.5 million pounds, 1.6 or 7 million every year just to do what we're doing now. Yes. Now, I'm just letting you know, right, because we as a people all need to be believing together to see God fulfill the vision, which includes him supplying financially to see the vision fulfilled. Because Faith Camp isn't my Faith Camp or Pastor Colin's Faith Camp. Faith Camp is our apostolic gathering as Kingdom Faith with the wider family of Kingdom Faith from all over the world where we meet together. And that costs us about £500,000 to put that on and run it. And at the moment, we don't, because of the cost of running it, it doesn't cover all the costs of putting it on. Now, we know it's right to carry on, and we don't stop doing something because of money and all of that. But it's just to let you into my world a little bit and our world a little bit as to what goes on and what we're believing for and what we're seeing, need to see take place. Now, for me, we need to see an increase in income. Not just so that we spend more money, but so that we can be more, even more effective and fruitful in terms of what God is calling us to as Kingdom Faith. And so this mandate of seeing revival for a generation, it's not just a good vision that we're running with and that you're part of when you turn up on a Sunday or that we're just trying to work out in the body here in Horsham. This is something that I believe God has given to us as a people, and he's asking who wants to buy in to that vision with their life. See, any church has a vision. Well, not I don't know. This is probably quite a general statement to make. Some churches have a vision to go somewhere from God, you know. But in order to be part of that, you've got to choose to buy into it. What do I mean by that? I mean, put your life into it. You know, and you either say, yeah, that's what I want to buy into. That's what I want to be part of. Because that's I know that's what God's saying to me as a person. That's what I want to be part of. I'm not, I mean, you know, talking third person here for a minute. And so if you know, yeah, that's what I want to be part of, that is it. That rings all my bells spiritually, and I know that's what God is saying to me. Then, man, we want to give ourselves to it. But along the way, if we're looking for certain things to take place, I don't know, there's no perfect church. And there's going to be things about this church that all of us, you know, including myself, think, well, man, we need to get better at that and do this and sort that and all of that. And, you know, but we're all people. We're all infallible, right? That doesn't mean that doesn't give an excuse to just do whatever. Fallible. What did I say? Well, we are in Christ. But anyway, we're all fallible. Well, that just shows, doesn't it, that we're all, there you go. I did get English O-level. But, anyway. So, what we want to do is we want to move together as a people in faith to see God do everything that he has promised and purposed to do. That's a challenge for all of us, because God will always say something and put things before us that are beyond our own ability to see them take place, to see them happen. But at the same time, there's enough of God in our lives. There's enough anointing and gifting and skills and abilities in the body. There's enough finances and creativity and for where we are right now. Amen. Now, we want to see a greater release of the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis, not just have a great meeting on a Sunday and there you go. We want to see an increasing release of the dynamic and the life of the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one that actually is going to produce the fruit. He's the only one that can change and transform lives. He's the only one that can actually fulfill the mandate that God has given us as a people. So, yes, God has called us as the church. You know, we are a church, a body of believers. But God wants us to think in terms of seeing a move of God in Horsham, in our region, in our nation. We don't want to take the church out there. We don't want to take form, structure. Because most people, if you say the word church, they switch off, don't they? Do you find that? Because they haven't seen church to be something that is really positive, full of life, a great place to be. When you go there, you get encouraged. You meet the happiest people on earth. People, you know, just seem to deal with life in a different way. Most people have no concept that there is a church, let alone church being like that. So we don't want to take church out there in that, in the sense of what people think it is. What we want to take is life out there. And it's the life of the Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus. It's the life of the Holy Spirit that reveals who God is, isn't it? So, why do we have VIPs? Because we want to see a move of God in our nation. Why do we meet together on a Sunday morning? Actually, because we want to see a move of God in our nation. Why do we have things like Inside Out the last few days? Because we want to see a move of God in our nation. Why do we have Faith Camp? Because we want to see a move of God in our nation. Why do we do what we do? Because we want to see a move of God in our nation. Why do we have a Bible college? Because we want to see a move of God in our nation. Why do we worship like we do? Because we want to see a move of God in our nation. Why do we get up early in the morning and pray and get before God? Because we want to see a move of God in our nation. That's what we're living for. We're living to see the purposes of God fulfilled in our nation. And that includes right here. When we talk about the nation, we don't exclude, well, what about Horsham? Man, if we're talking about the nation, it's going to happen here. Everywhere. But I believe God wants to just burn in us as a people with His heart and purpose for our nation. You know, there's another word for vision. It's called frustration. Pastor Connor would probably agree with me. He's lived with a vision for revival, but he's also lived with a frustration for 45 years. Would you agree with that? In the sense of, you know, there's more than you've seen. And therefore, there's a godly frustration that is like, I know there's more, and we've got to keep going to see all of that take place and more. Frustration actually can be a good thing. I think if you don't have any frustration in your life, as in godly frustration, if everything is just hunky-dory, going so cool that it's like, hallelujah, ooh, or whatever, then ask the Holy Spirit to talk to you and give you a bit of vision, you know, because when you've got vision, you've also got frustration, because you're living beyond what you're seeing. You're living for more than is taking place. That's why when you're living with a frustration, because you've got a vision beyond where you are now, that's why you're living with this, God, I want to meet with you in a fresh way. I want to know you more, Jesus. Father, I surrender afresh to you this morning and lay my life down today. Why? Because, you know, God, I'm living for something more than I see. I'm living with a frustration from your heart, because I think God has a godly frustration also. And I believe every one of us needs to live with a little bit of godly frustration, that we're not satisfied with where we're at personally, ever. What I mean is, I don't mean you feel rubbish about where you are with God. I'm not talking about that. Because you can be cruising with God, motoring and humming, you know. But at the same time, what does that do? It fuels, I want to know God more. You know, it fuels a good frustration that says, this is great, I love God, but I want to know Him more. So how many of you want to pray for a godly frustration this morning in your life? Whoa, dangerous. Are you ready then? Let's stand together. You want to say something, do you?
You can just be seated again for a moment.
All right. Are you guys still up here?
Clive said to me when I arrived this morning, do you want to bring anything this morning? I said, well, only if God really gives me something. And He's given me two things to say, very briefly, before we pray. All the way through this meeting, there's a phrase God has been speaking to me. And those of you who were here last night will understand this more fully. It said, motivated by love.
Right.
You see, what is going to enable the fulfillment of the vision? Only a motivation that comes out of love for God, love therefore for His purposes, love for people, love for one another. And that's why God ministered to us in the way that He did yesterday. And we need, obviously, to be committed to the vision, like Clive has been saying. But we need every time we come together to realize that we're coming to express our love for God in response to His great love for us. And it's only as we are motivated by that love that we will go out there and do the business that He's calling us to do. Now, the second thing He said to me a few minutes ago while Clive was speaking. Some of you might not like this, but I really believe this is what God is saying to us this morning. So are you ready? John says in his first epistle that if you say you love God, who you do not see, but you do not love your brother, who you do see, then you're deceived, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Now, I think we all know that scripture pretty well. And as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit said to me, Colin, do you realize what that means? He said it means that every member of Kingdom Faith can evaluate how much they love me by how much they love Kingdom Faith. That their real love for me is the love that they have for Kingdom Faith, because that's the body of believers to which they belong, in which I have placed them. Those are the people that they are called to love as I have loved them. And then he said, if anybody thinks they love me greater than they love Kingdom Faith, they're liars, deceivers, and the truth is not in them, because that is what my word says. Now, I've never thought of that before, never put it like that before, but it's something that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I believe, you see, that what God is saying is therefore to love Him is to love the body. That is not an institution. It's to love the people. Because only by loving one another will the vision get fulfilled. So Jesus prayed, Father, may they be one, that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me. And I've often, when I've been teaching students or preaching all around the world, as I often do about love, I mean, the whole of my ministry really has been preaching about faith working through love. And I've often preached on 1 John and sort of said, if you want to really know what your relationship with God is like, then look at your relationships with your brethren, because that tells you what your relationship with God is like. Because that is the message of the first letter of John. It's clear in all that John is saying there. And I've never actually, until this morning, taken the step further to realize the implication of that. That, therefore, we love Kingdom Faith. If you're a member of Kingdom Faith, if you're part of this church, you love that. And only as much as you love the people and love the vision and are committed to the people and committed to the vision, are you actually committed to God. And you know, there are a lot of people in the world who never commit themselves to a church. They're church hoppers. They move from church to church according to their preference, or whether they think that church is, you know, fulfilling the kind of diet that they want to eat. I feel sad for them, because people like that will never produce fruit that will last. And God has said so many encouraging things to us during these last 3 or 4 days. But also, at the same time, He said some challenging things to us. Because the two things go together. I tell them, you know, leaders, I said, if you preach the gospel, you will encourage and challenge. If you just encourage people and don't challenge them, you haven't preached the gospel. If you challenge them and haven't encouraged them, then you haven't preached the gospel. But if you notice, whenever Jesus preached, He always encouraged and challenged. The Spirit speaks to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. He encourages, then He disciplines them. He corrects them. He challenges them to come back to the best purposes of God. So I'm not going to say any more, except that I, like you, am on the receiving end of this word that God has said. You know, it's like God tells us to love Israel. We don't love a nation. We don't love a political system. We don't love a government in Israel. We love His people, Israel. See, and it's the same. We are committed here to love one another as He has loved us, to love the people, to love being part of what He has made, to love the vision, to put the whole of our being into the fulfillment of the vision in love, because this is where God has called us to be. And the only way in which you can opt out of that is to opt out of the call of God on your life. And you see, this actually is not just a call upon Kingdom Faith, you understand that. This is God's call upon every church. It's just that in Kingdom Faith, we face up to what the call of God really means. And we don't water it down and make it something less than it really is. So that's a challenge, isn't it? But it's also an encouragement. I just feel like telling you one thing before, to encourage you. I can remember when God was teaching me all this stuff years ago in the 70s in Luton, because we were working all this out. And yes, I'm frustrated, but I'm not frustrated so much in knowing that God can do more, but in knowing that I've seen Him do more in past than we see Him doing now. That's an even greater frustration. Because when you've seen more, then you know, you know He can do more. And I believe He wants to do even more than what I've seen. So, yeah, there's an acute frustration in that sense. But I know that the only answer to that frustration is our love for God and therefore for one another. And that's why I believe last night was so important. It was just so crucial that every time we come here, we get re-motivated. Every Sunday, we get re-motivated with the love of God to go out there and do the business. Amen. And the wonderful thing is, you know, about this, and this is the thing that God taught me, is that when you understand what Clive was saying, is that your thinking is corporate, not just individual. You think body, you don't just think me. You think body. When you realize that, every time anybody has a need, you've got the whole body rooting for you. I always remember we had a system whereby if any member in the church ever had a need, everybody would drop everything, we would cancel all the meetings, and everybody would be there to pray for that person in the church that night. And most people, from the time they heard about the meeting, they would begin to fast as well as pray. Now that's love for one another. Didn't matter what was happening, what program, everybody stopped. A brother is in need, we must pray together. They thought body, and the church would be full. And people would have had, what, 3 or 4 hours notice? Because, you know, the group leaders would be informed. I'm just sort of whetting our appetite. I'm not living in past glory or anything like that. I'm just saying, this is what a body of love is. It's not a group of individuals. It's people that are really committed to one another, people that are living one life together. The scripture says we belong to each other. That's why it sort of grieves God so much if anybody breaks fellowship or breaks covenant or just chooses to go off and do their own thing. I believe that is so grievous in the purposes of God. And it shows that there isn't that commitment to the vision, to the fulfillment of what it is that God calls us to be and to do. And the last thing I'll say is this, that the only way in which we can fulfill the vision is together. It's the only way. Because you see, God doesn't have a vision for your life unless it's part of that corporate vision. His purpose for your life is part of that corporate vision he has for his church. So it's wonderful to be together. I mean, you know, we're together in this. And we can encourage one another, help one another, pray for one another, do everything that we can for one another, because we're not isolated little spiritual islands. I used to put it this way when I was explaining. I said, you know, the church is not a group of billiard balls or snooker balls that come together every Sunday, go click, 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 and then all bounce off each other and go off and do their own thing. As I said, because then the church becomes charismatic. And they come together and they go, click, 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 hallelujah. Then they bounce off and go and do their own thing. I said, but that's not the church, because snooker balls have hard exteriors. There's no unity. There's no love. And God hasn't given us hard hearts. He's given us a new heart, every one of us. And that's why we're motivated by love. And if we're motivated by love for God, we're motivated by love for one another. And yeah, all the time, we're going to face challenges together. And there are going to be times when we will have issues with the church, with one another, but we work through them together. Because nothing, nothing, nothing will destroy the unity that God has given us in Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Okay. Praise God. Okay, let's just close our eyes then. Now, first, thank the Lord for the spirit of love that he has poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. You have that spirit of love. And why don't you say to him, Lord, I want to be motivated by love. Because you say that if I love you, I will obey your commands. So I want to be motivated by love, so I obey you. Can you really say that to the Lord? Just pray that yourself. You've got to do it in your own words. I can't do it for you. I want to be motivated by love. Right now, his command is that we love one another as he has loved us. So if we're motivated by love to obey the Lord, then we're motivated to obey this command. Amen? So let's just pray through that now. Lord, thank you that you put me in a part, in a body. I'm part of a body. And I want to be motivated in love for you and therefore motivated to love the others that are in this body. I love this body. I love this body, Lord, because it's the body that you put me in. And you tell me to love the body like you love the body, to love the church like you love the church. So, Lord, I love this church. I love this body of people. I count it a privilege, Lord, that you have put me here within this body, that you have given all these people for me to love and for them to love me, and that together we would love the vision that you give us. Now, can you say to the Lord, Lord, I want the spirit of truth to operate in my life. I don't want to be deceived. And you say that people are deceived who are those who say they love you, but they don't love the body. They don't love that which you've made them part of. So, Lord, I don't want to be among the deceived. I want to be among those who live by the truth. So I thank you for your word, Lord, that I can only love you if I love my brother. So I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to live the truth. I'm going to love the body of which you put me in, that you put me in, of which you've made me a part. I'm going to love the people. I'm going to love the vision. I'm going to love moving with you. I'm going to love the meetings. I'm going to love the activities. And because I love the church, Lord, I'm going to be committed fully, 100% to everything. I'm not going to be, on the periphery of things. Because I love the body, because I love you, therefore I'm fully committed to the life of the body because I'm fully committed to you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, I think you need to sound a little bit more excited about that. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord, that the blessings of the body are my blessings. The needs of the body are my needs. The challenges of the body are my challenges. Because you make me a part of this organism. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that it's not an organization. It's an organism. It's a living organism of people. And thank you that you have made me part of that. And nothing is going to separate me from you, and nothing is going to separate me from them, because we're in covenant with you, and we're in covenant with one another. And we give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the blessing. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.